That is the opening movement of a serenade for strings by the Swedish composer Dag Wirén in a performance by the English Chamber Orchestra conducted by Johannes Sommery. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, the show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And that music figures on a concert that's happening tomorrow night in Champaign. More on that in a moment. Coming up later in the hour, I'll be talking with multi-percussionist who is a professor at the University of Michigan named Joseph Gramley. He's also a member of the Silk Road Ensemble, which is led by Yo-Yo Ma, part of the Silk Road Project. And he will be performing as soloist with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra on, tomorrow in Bloomington and Saturday in Springfield. We'll hear from him coming up around 4:30 or so. But first, that music that you just heard will open a concert tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theater inside the Orpheum Children's Science Museum in downtown Champaign by the Prairie Ensemble. It's an all-strings concert, and full disclosure, I'm the conductor and music director of that orchestra. And, of course, we'll be leading that ensemble. With me today is one of the founding members of the orchestra. She's also our principal violist and the director of the Community Center for the Arts in downtown Urbana. Her name is Robin Kirtan. Thanks, Robin, for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Kevin.
So from your long experience with the Prairie Ensemble, and since you were involved in the inception, I should say the conception of it, what would you say is the gist of the ensemble? What makes the Prairie Ensemble the Prairie Ensemble?
Wow. You just never come up with easy questions, do you, Kevin?
I actually have been told that a couple of times, but...
Well, I think that one of the things that makes it, the Prairie Ensemble is, you know, the way it started out, as I'm sure you recall, but maybe the people listening don't know, it was a bunch of friends who got together and sort of bullied you into starting an orchestra.
Is that right?
That's how I kind of remembered it. It was a very collaborative atmosphere. And while we have, you know, a conductor and music director, I think that people feel like they're a little more able to participate in the actual decisions about the music. I think... maybe just due to the size of the group or due to the makeup of the group, the kind of people that the group attracts. It just seems like it's a slightly different kind of investment than you have, for example, in a full symphonic orchestra.
So the Prairie Ensemble is a chamber orchestra.
It is a chamber orchestra. It's a smaller group, but a lot of us know each other and play together regularly in other small groups. And I think that's part of it, just that there's an intimacy that's not possible in a larger group.
And how do you think that affects the performances or show up to the audience?
Well, you know, that's hard to say because I've never been in the audience.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Nor I.
Yeah. So that's, but the reports I get from my friends who go, they think that the energy is slightly different. Like, it's a different vibe. It's just like more focused intensity as individuals, in spite of the fact that we are all part of a collective. I guess another really big thing is the repertoire. That's what I usually hear from people, is that they like the music that you pick out for us to play, and because it's interesting and different. Usually.
Well, from your experience as a player, I mean, I've heard from other players too that. You know, while I'd love to hear, oh, we play in this group because you're the most fabulous conductor, what I usually hear is, because I've never heard that, what I usually hear is a lot of players really appreciate the music they get to play. So how is that different for you? I know you play in the Champaign-Urbana Symphony and a lot of other non-classical ensembles as well.
Yeah, well, I love playing in the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. And, you know, I've been around here for 20 years, and so I have done a lot of playing. And I don't know. I used to sort of think to myself that it must be your access to the fabulous music collection here at WILL. I was like, how on earth does he dig these things up? You know, how does he come across these? And I think you must. I used to just suspect you of prowling the shelves here to get your ideas, but...
Well, it's true.
Is it?
It is true, yeah.
No, confessing.
I'm not shy to say that, and that my work here at the radio station and my work with the Prairie Ensemble, with the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, they all kind of feed off of each other, and mm-hmm. and the management here has been good enough to always encourage that and feel that it's a very positive thing for me as a host of a show on WILL-FM, formerly of Classical Show, of course, and now with Live and Local. So, we have a great collection. There's stuff here that I would never have found anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to play at least a little bit of the second piece that's on the program. It's by an Englishman named Gerald Finzi.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember when I first heard this, but it's the only piece on the program that the Prairie Ensemble has played before. I can't remember how long ago. It's a romance for strings.
I think it's really beautiful, too.
Yeah. I hope the audience agrees tomorrow night. This is a concert that will be played by the Prairie Ensemble, conducted by myself, Kevin Kelly, tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theater in the Orpheum Children's Science Museum. More on that coming up, but that concert tomorrow night at 7:30, downtown Champaign. This is Live and Local. That is about the first half of The Romance for Strings by Englishman Gerald Finzi, played here by the Northern Sinfonia, conducted by Howard Griffiths, on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Agrigold Hybrids of Mahomet, Risk Management Commodities of Lafayette, Thorpe Farms of Gibson City, and Prairie Boatworks of Champaign. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much for your support. That music will be on the concert tomorrow night by the Prairie Ensemble, a Champaign-Urbana-based chamber orchestra. It's been around in the 18th season now, and they'll be playing at the Orpheum Theater, which is inside what has been known for a long, long time as the Orpheum Children's Science Museum. And the Orpheum Theater, I read, is supposed to be, you know, a scaled-down copy almost of one of the theaters at Versailles.
Hmm.
It's not quite in that condition. It's in the process of being renovated, restored, and much of it has been. Some of it hasn't been yet. I'm Kevin Kelly, host of Live and Local and also conductor of the ensemble. My guest this portion of the show is Robin Kirtan, principal violist and one of the founding members of the group. Have you played in there at all?
I have not, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what it's like in to play.
You haven't
in there.
Been in? Have you been? Have you seen it?
I've stuck my nose up against the window to peek inside, but no, I haven't played in there. I haven't really been in there, and I'm very curious and eagerly looking forward to it.
It's a nice place to hear things, and I hope that lots. I mean, as one of the marketers of the group, I certainly hope that people will be intrigued to hear what an orchestra sounds like, because I don't think there's been one in there. As far as I know, we'll be the first.
That's neat.
Yeah. One of the other pieces on the program is going to feature the one non-string player on tomorrow night's concert, and that is the oboe professor at the University of Illinois, John Dee, who has occasionally played principal violist with us, not for a long time. And he's going to be playing in a piece also by an Englishman, Ray Vaughan Williams, his oboe concerto. Sort of a quirky piece. Have you ever been involved in performances of this before?
I don't recall playing this one before.
But you've worked many times with John Dee.
I have worked with John Dee since, like, our music relationship started back in the middle 80s, back in South Florida.
Really?
He was the principal oboist in my first professional orchestra.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think he sort of imprinted on me what an oboe sounds like. So I always think that he's just the most fantastic oboe player, but I think a lot of people agree with me. he's a real gem of a player and a super nice, easy to deal with and work with person, too.
Very supportive.
Oh, gosh.
Person.
Yeah, you know that thing where people shuffle their feet quietly if a colleague has a little solo moment?
Audiences probably don't know that, but
yeah,
yes, I do.
Well, the audience, maybe you'll see that. If you know, the concertmaster or one of the wind players or even the violist has a little solo, if they do a good job, their colleagues will quietly shuffle their feet under their chairs. And I learned that very trick from John, because he's always the first one to compliment somebody else when they do something nice. He's just a real super guy.
The orchestral foot shuffle.
Yeah.
Meaning good going, good job.
Yeah, so watch out for that next time you go to an orchestra concert. And if there's a solo and you suddenly seems like the orchestra is a little restless, that's why.
That's why. Well, if they do it right, the audience won't hear the shuffle,
but
the player will hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a really subtle foot moving. Yeah.
Well, this is... You said to me as we were listening to the last piece, actually, that the Vaughan Williams, all the three movements of the Vaughan Williams concerto sound like Vaughan Williams. What did you mean by that?
Well, he just has a real characteristic way of, I guess, the way he voices his chords and harmonies, the kind of harmonies that he picks, the way he voices them, particularly in the strings. That's where my ears go anyway, but, you know... he would be one of those composers who I like to characterize as writing good viola parts, you know. And,
because it's such a rich sounding instrument.
He brings out the richness. I think of his harmonies as being really lush, and you know, having that somewhat haunting modal sound, but also being sort of playful, and you know, he seems to flip back and forth between lush and playful a lot.
Well, here's a sample of the playful. This is the second movement. It's quite a short movement, actually, of the Vaughan Williams Oboe Concerto. It's a minuet and musette, which is sort of an unusual second part of the piece. And the soloist here is Maurice Borg with the English String Orchestra conducted by William Boughton. This is a piece that oboist John Dee will play with the Prairie Ensemble tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theater inside the Orpheum Children's Science Museum in downtown Champaign. You're listening to Live and Local. The second movement of the Oboe Concerto by Ray Vaughan Williams, performed here by Maurice Borg with the English String Orchestra conducted by William Boughton. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and that piece will be performed by oboist John Dee of the University of Illinois faculty with the Prairie Ensemble, myself conducting tomorrow night at the Orpheum Theater in the Orpheum Children's Science Museum, downtown Champaign. 7 o'clock, there'll be a chat between myself and Professor D, and then at 7:30, the concert itself. It's an all-string program. We call it a string thing. And the featured work, the really big work on the concert, is kind of an unusual one. Well, the piece itself, not unusual. It's Franz Schubert's string quartet known as Death and the Maiden, but it's an arrangement that Gustav Mahler made. A four-string orchestra, meaning that in some places he adds octaves, he changed some of the dynamics here and there, he adds a bass part, and just generally makes a fuller sound. And my guest on the show today, this portion of the show, our principal violist, Robin Kirtan, also a founding member of the orchestra. Have you ever played this quartet?
You know, I was thinking about this in the first rehearsal, and, you know, you can tell when the people in the orchestra have played the piece and are very familiar with it. And I looked around and I thought, man, I think I'm the only person in the room who hasn't played this. And then I realized that I had company in the bass section.
Mm.
But I've heard the piece, but I don't remember ever playing it.
And it's the same piece. It's the exact piece for anybody who thinks, oh, Mahler messed around with it.
Not so much.
He did a little, but it's this exact note for note. It is the piece. I know that our concertmaster for this concert, Aaron Jacobs, told me he's played the piece, but he played second violin, and he's playing first violin, which is very difficult.
Yeah.
And you know, your perspective changes a bit.
Yeah.
What's your impression of it now that you're playing it? I mean, I know you've heard it.
Yeah, I've heard it. It hasn't. The perspective doesn't changed very much. It still sounds like Schubert. I guess if I were just listening to it, with not being an expert on the piece or anything, I probably wouldn't necessarily realize that it had been adapted. You know, I would just think that it was a bigger group playing it. But I mean, it's a great piece. It's Schubert has such a great way of creating beautiful melodies, and it's a nice piece. It's good.
It's a nice piece.
It is a nice piece.
It's a powerful piece, as people will hear in a minute. The term "Death and the Maiden" comes from the second movement, because there's a very short song. I hadn't realized how short the song was that he wrote called "Death and the Maiden." I don't remember who the poet is offhand. And it's quite haunting and a little bit threatening, but also very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And his second movement plays that song exactly, and then has a set of variations on it.
Yeah,
which are also really beautiful.
It is a really pretty movement.
Yeah. So we'll leave that one to people's imagination or memory for the moment. I have to come to the concert tomorrow night. But just to remind you, in case you don't know what this piece sounds like, I'm willing to bet many of our listeners will know in a very few seconds once I play the beginning of it. And this is a recording of the Camerata Academica of Salzburg, led by Franz Welser-Müst, of the opening movement of the Gustav Mahler arrangement of the Schubert Death and the Maiden. Not exactly how I would play it or that we will play it, but you'll get the idea. Thanks, Robin, very much for coming on the show today and telling us a bit about the concert.
Pleasure as always. I hope you guys come hear us.
Tomorrow night, the Orpheum Theater in the Orpheum Children's Science Museum downtown Champaign, the Prairie Ensemble. That is a tune by Steve Reich called Nagoya Marimbas. It comes off of an album called American Deconstruction from 2007 by the percussionist Joseph Gramley, who is going to be appearing as soloist with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra twice this weekend. They're performing in Bloomington on Friday at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and then on Saturday at 8 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. Music director Alistair Willis will conduct that program, which also has music by Debussy and an interesting rendition of Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, in which they will feature some actors from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival on there. So that should be a fun program. But my guest today is Joseph Gramley. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Solo percussion, there don't seem to be all that many solo percussionists who run around doing exactly that, or am I wrong?
You're partly right. Well, there are more and more of us with each passing day, which is good news. Our field, sort of as soloists, really sort of blossomed and exploded in the second half of the 20th century. So most of our music is relatively new, and so the genre of performing as a soloist is also quite new. Great pieces like the Chen Yi, which we'll do this weekend with the Illinois Symphony, are also very, very recent and represent a really nice, new, vibrant, exciting aesthetic of what we call multi-percussion, which is combinations of lots of different percussion instruments together. And composers have sort of taken us under their wing and vice versa. A nice bond is formed between composers and percussionists to get some really fun and exciting new music out there for the very few soloists that are going for it. But there's more and more every day, like I said, which is good news.
And you mentioned the Chen Yi. Chen Yi is a woman, a composer, her percussion concerto, which is what you'll be playing with the Illinois Symphony.
Yes, written for the Singapore Symphony and soloist Evelyn Glennie. This piece is just a blast to play. I'm running all over the stage. Again, a really true multi-percussion concerto. Dozens and dozens of instruments that I'll play, and the percussion section of the Illinois Symphony. The percussionists and timpanists of the orchestra have a lot to do in this piece as well.
I know you teach music at University of Michigan. Did you grow up as an orchestral percussionist?
I did. I grew up playing in the Eugene Youth Orchestra out in Oregon. Grew up in a small town called Coburg. My first foray into the Western Art Music Symphonic Repertoire was a long time ago, 1983, when I joined the Eugene Junior Orchestra. First piece I played was the timpani part to Brahms Symphony No. 1. And when that flute solo came in the fourth movement, I was hooked for life.
Well, as you mentioned, the Chen Yi Concerto has a whole bunch of different instruments, and it's great fun to watch percussionists play these things just because of the visual motion. But, of course, she's a Chinese composer, and you spent a lot of time in a group directed by Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist, called the Silk Road Ensemble.
Yes.
Tell us briefly about this ensemble and how you got involved in it.
Sure. The group has been together the year 2000. Yo-Yo hatched the idea in 1998, so we're actually celebrating our 15th anniversary this year. It's a core group of about 20 artists from all over the world, with various guest artists that come and join us for special projects. It's funny, the way I got into the group was actually through the composer Bright Sheng, who is a compatriot of Chen Yi. And Bright Sheng, Chen Yi, Zhao Long, who is also Chen Yi's husband, and Tan Dun, all immigrated to the States around about the same time, post-Cultural Revolution. So I was working with Bright Sheng at the Spoleto Festival and playing one of his operas, and it was instruments that I'd never played before, Chinese opera gongs, bao gongs, lots and lots of tam-tams and gongs from all other parts of the world. And Bright was the Chinese consultant for Yo-Yo's Silk Road project and recommended me for the first workshop up at Tanglewood in the summer of 2000. Just a great opportunity for me. I've learned so much from all the musicians in the group, and we continue to tour and record. We've done about six albums for Sony. We've commissioned over 60 new works for the ensemble. And it's a very unique ensemble, nothing like it in terms of instrumentation. And again, a great learning curve for me in terms of the Asian influence of percussion writing that you'll hear in the Chenyi.
Well, let's give a listen actually to a traditional Chinese tune that came off of, I think this is the first of the Silk Road recordings, Silk Road Journeys When Strangers Meet.
Yes,
is that right? Yeah, from 2002. This one is a traditional tune called Blue Little Flower, and I think you'll hear a lot of percussion from Joe Gramley here on Live and Local. He's performing as soloist with the Illinois Symphony tomorrow and Saturday night. That is a traditional Chinese melody called Blue Little Flower, as rendered by the Silk Road Ensemble under the direction of Yo-Yo Ma. The percussionist, Joseph Gramley, who's going to be with the Illinois Symphony this weekend, and that comes off of their first Silk Road Journeys CD called When Strangers Meet. Joe's my guest, this portion of Live and Local. Silk Road implies, among other things, Far East, but hasn't the group taken it to mean a lot of other things the longer they've been around?
Most definitely. It's become, for us, a real metaphor for cultural exchange. And one great way to think about the Silk Road, or Silk Roots, as it were, there are many tributaries that sort of branched off from the Silk Road. Think of it sort of as the internet of antiquity. Ideas were exchanged and traded, and there was travel, there was transformation. we took some of these traditions and we've tried to innovate them. And the Silk Road for us in the group and for Yo-Yo has become a metaphor for learning about other cultures and countries and peoples and connecting the world to neighborhoods. Starting in the Far East, we traveled all the way from Japan, China, Korea. Our music has been ended us up all the way to what was known as Finisterre, which was the end of the earth at that time in northwest Spain, Galicia.
I wanted to play something from what I think is the most recent Silk Road recording called A Playlist Without Borders, came out last year. There's a couple of tunes on here you suggested we might consider, and I'll give you your choice, and then you can tell me which part of the world influenced them. One is, fix my pronunciation for me, Saidi Swing,
yep.
And one called Brielle.
Okay, tough choice. Let's take Brielle because it showcases a wide variety of instruments. You're going to have pipa from China. You're going to have the shakuhachi from Japan. You have a bunch of percussionists playing some world hand drums. Interesting story about this tune. Another composer who's been connecting some of the world neighborhoods is that eclectic downtown New York composer John Zorn. John Zorn wrote a melody every day for a year and put it into a book, and he called that book the Book of Angels. And he gave us that Book of Angels, the Silk Road Ensemble, and allowed us to play some of these tunes. And we have now a suite from the Book of Angels. Brielle was the first tune that we did from the John Zorn Book of Angels, and it was brought to us by one of our bass players, Samir Blumenkrantz, colleague of John Zorn's from New York.
You mentioned various Far Eastern countries. This one actually sounded to me like I heard particularly Indian influence, as in from India.
There is some Indian influence. The scale sounds very Indian. Morphing, merging, moving into Persia. Some of those half steps that you're going to hear on this one scale and on these improvisations are going to be Indian influenced as well as Persian influenced. And speaking of Indian musicians, Sandeep Das, our tabla player, plays on this tune. And so whenever you hear him play the tabla, I personally immediately transport it back over to India.
Let's give a listen. It's John Zorn's tune, Brielle, from A Playlist Without Borders by the Silk Road Ensemble. In addition to the tabla player, the percussionist is Joseph Gramley, my guest on Live and Local. He's playing with the Illinois Symphony in Bloomington and Springfield this weekend. Thank you. The tune is called Brielle by John Zorn, American composer, but influence from all around the world, as you could hear, comes from A Playlist Without Borders, a CD by the Silk Road Project, which includes percussionist Joseph Gramley, who's playing with the Illinois Symphony this weekend. He's my guest on Live and Local this portion of the program, and I appreciate very much the chance to sample some of your music, Joe. I wanted to play something, since you mentioned some of these Chinese composers who kind of came over in a flock, so to speak, after the Cultural Revolution. Chen Yi, you're playing her percussion concerto. But then her husband, Zhou Long, we have a piece here of his with the marvelous title of Song of Eight Unruly Tipsy Poets.
Mm-hmm. We heard Blue Flower. A lot of the titles of the Chinese tunes are very evocative, and this is no different. I love this piece, obviously, because it features some of my good friends, both Yo-Yo, but also the members of the string quartet Brooklyn Rider are playing on this with the Chicago Symphony. But also the middle movement of Chen Yi's percussion concerto, Zhao Long's wife, it features another song with some tipsy lovers in it as well. So there's a really nice parallel here.
So a lot of tipsiness going on in their family, apparently.
Apparently, right.
At least in their brains. Let's give a listen. Joe Gramley with the Silk Road Ensemble. He will be playing Chen Yi's percussion concerto with the Illinois Symphony. I'll give you the dates and times and exact locations coming up very shortly here on Live and Local. That's music by Chinese composer Zhou Long called The Song of Eight Unruly Tipsy Poets for the Silk Road Ensemble off of their New Impossibilities CD from several years ago. Joe Gramley, the percussionist or a percussionist. Are you typically one of several in the Silk Road Ensemble?
Yes. There are between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the Silk Road Ensemble. Sandeep Das is playing tabla, Mark Suter and Shane Shanahan on percussion, and Haruka Fuji on percussion, Dongwon Kim on Korean traditional percussion. So there's a mélange of us drummers there in Silk Road.
Well, it's been a lot of fun to explore some of this music. It's also interesting to me, and we're going to go out with something completely different. that you have what seems to me to be kind of an unusual duo called Organized Rhythm with an organist named Clive Driscoll Smith. Is that an ongoing concern, or is that something that was a little just gone a little while?
No, it's actually been a great experience for me. We've been playing together for about 10 years. You know, we started off talking today about percussionists as soloists, and there's a great soloist from England, Colin Curry. Clive did a concert with Colin years ago at Westminster Abbey, and Clive grew to love that combination and asked me to join him for some concerts in the States. And we've been playing together ever since. And we actually got on tour this week. We were at Grinnell College in Iowa and in Cincinnati and up in Rockford, Illinois. So playing some music, including, I think you're going to play one of our excerpts from Carnival of the Animals. Is that correct?
Yeah, by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Yeah, so we've been playing that collection that we arranged ourselves.
Well, it's great fun, and we're gonna. And I think people will recognize this particular tune. It has, well, fishy animals in it. This is the aquarium movement, and at Joe Gramley on percussion, Clive Driscoll Smith on organ. And as promised, the details on the performances this weekend. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and on Saturday night, also at 8, at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Joe will be soloing in the Chen Yi Percussion Concerto with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, which will be conducted by its music director, Alistair Willis. And the concert also features actors from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, sort of interspersing things with during Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet music. There's more on that program as well. You can go to ilsymphony.org. Joe, thank you very much for joining us on the Live and Local today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Kevin.